Boxing Show on the Grilly Truth Sports Network. I'm your host for the old time boxing show, Mike Goodpasser. Right now, I'd like to welcome in my co-host, boxing historian Christopher Shelton. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good. Looking forward to Jimmy Young.
All right. Today, we're going to talk about, of course, the career of Jimmy Young. Jimmy was a guy who, I don't know, it seemed like the powers that be never really wanted Jimmy to succeed. And I think after the Ken Norton fight, we really saw a Jimmy Young that really maybe didn't really have his heart quite into it anymore. And when we look at Jimmy Young, this is a guy that had a ton of talent, Chris.
Yeah, he's special because he's in the heavyweight division. We always like boxing because that's why we call it boxing. But he was really a boxer. I think he found the right moment in time to get his attention. I mean, I honestly believe, because I had this crying session a few days ago, just crazy, that George Foreman probably watching the fans go, Jimmy Young, and thinking, why do they like him and they hate me? Why do they hate me? That it's craziness about what it is. But the nice thing is, we're not really arguing whether Jimmy Young was ever heavyweight champion. In fact, it's crazy how sad it came close. You know, one judge announces something, Norton, then another judge waits, Young, and you're waiting for one more judge, and they tell you by one point, it's the heavyweight champion of the world. It's actually two of them, and nothing. You know, it's like that close, and they say Norton.
All right, so let's go ahead and look at his career. In his 11th or 12th pro fight, he was just 11-1. He was thrown in against Ernie Shavers, of course, one of the biggest punchers in boxing history. He was knocked out in the third round trying to trade with Shavers, and really, Young was kind of rushed into that fight a little too fast, Chris.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that Young had to deal with being him and hoping people can accept him, which apparently people did. Because I think one of the things, I always wish one day I could talk to Marvin Hagler, and I won't, to explain to him, he's like, how could you take away my championship with that? Because it looks like Sugar Ray Leonard's hitting with puff punches. It looks like the guy's not hurting me even a tiny bit. And Jimmy Young had to accept that his punches don't look like they're hurting the opponent even a little bit. And that fans, I don't know, they like boxing at the same time. If the guy looks like it's almost like watching an Olympic amateur boxer versus a professional, and Jimmy Young's punches really clearly don't land that hard. And that him exchanging punches with Ernie Shavers, that's pride. And sometimes if you want to win, you have pride, but you rethink your moments.
Well, you think it was pride, or you think it was the fact that maybe it was just his 12th professional fight and he kind of the moment maybe got him? Ernie Shavers at the time was 42-2.
I think he thought he was a badass. You know, I think you got to have that in you too. To be a heavyweight champion, I do think that you got to have part of you that thinks you're a badass. And sometimes they're reminders. Maybe you are, but, you know, Ernie Shavers, if you just, you know, there really are, there's a lot of boxing fights actually that you think, you know, you get into a zone and you think, you know, I'm pretty sure I could take this person's best punch and it's not a good idea. And that happens all the time that Young, because he could look so good against somebody for a second. He never had that with Lyle versus Shavers, but he probably could have if he just absolutely thought, I could take this guy's best shot. He might have been laying on the deck somewhere, but you know, you got to be careful when you think things. Sorry.
All right, and then 1974, he knocked out Richard Dunn, who would somehow get a title shot at Muhammad Ali after that. Then he beat Jose Luis Garcia, and then he gets the rematch with Shavers, which ended up being a split decision draw. So he performed a lot better in the second fight.
Young really just in many ways is just one of those guys that's kind of out there. Sorry, I can't get rid of the thing if it's in the way of my screen. I don't think it matters that much what I look like, but he's kind of just really out there in many ways. Somehow, by the time he gets around to Ali, he really only has just the one really good fight against Ron Lyle, and he looks good against that, but I don't know how many people actually really watched it, and that he just came out of nowhere to be number three, and that it doesn't even show just how serious this thing is, you know, as far as Ali doesn't take him serious and stuff. He really comes out of nowhere to be a person that you don't know who he is, really, other than he's this boxer that really can't hit. And and not really somebody taken seriously other than Ring Magazine, because we still have to deal with these letters, these WBC, WBAs, and what do they think and say? We think they're corrupt and stuff like that. And we don't know that Ring Magazine is all that more honest, but they do have like another opinion, and they thought enough of Jimmy Young to say, we think he is.
Well, the second Shavers fight, he actually had Shavers in trouble at the end of that fight after being knocked down in the fourth round. And most ringside observers thought this was the first time Jimmy got screwed, because the people that sat ringside before him might run down the
fight. Yeah, I'm sorry. My computer's causing problems, so I'm trying to get out of that. But, well, all I can say is that he appeared to come out of nowhere, and that yes, when we get to look back on these things, Jimmy Young looks more impressive than I think he was when he actually, what people thought of him when we first heard of him, sort of, when we started registering people's minds. Obviously, for somebody like, for people like Ring Magazine, other people to say he's in the top five, he's in the top three, he's impressing people. I'd say just to the general public and the way we do these things, you know, there's Muhammad Ali's champion, and then you're just kind of looking at who the other field is, and Jimmy Young doesn't seem to be a player. I don't even think Ernie Shavers. I mean, I think one of the outrageous things is about Ernie Shavers in particular is how little he was regarded until after he fought Ali. I mean, really, I'm shocked at that, because you know, he hard puncher and stuff like that, but how little these people are regarded in many ways until it all of a sudden just turns around. You go from nothing to something so fast. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and then he beats Ron Lyle, which is a huge win. Lyle would later in that year go on to fight Ali and actually had to lead before Ali stopped him. He beat Jose King Roman a year later, and then he gets the heavyweight title shot against Muhammad Ali. And even Ali and Dundee afterwards said they didn't take Young seriously. Yep. But that was a huge mistake. And as much trouble as Ali had with Lyle, it looks like he would have realized Young was pretty good.
Young is really good. And also, I do think it's worth mentioning only on the Ramon fight that because it was a one-round knockout by Foreman, it's the first Puerto Rican to get a chance to fight for the heavyweight championship. And that it is important to ultimately what happened with Young is that Foreman was developing a reputation. Now, he clearly dominates Ramon. I mean, it should be a one-round knockout exactly the way it is. But he hits Ramon when he's on the ground. He hits him when he's defenseless and on the ground. And so this whole thing about Foreman being a dirty fighter, he's a dirty, nasty fighter. I do think that held into it, because eventually referees get a vibe on somebody, or they hear about somebody, even Ali, where they say, you know what, I'm going to give somebody a warning or a point penalty. And I do think that Foreman – He mentally hit Norton when he's on the ground, and I do think that these things came up to ultimately help Jimmy Young and hurt George Foreman in a way that Foreman deserves. So Ramon didn't do much, but I do want to point him out as the first heavyweight Puerto Rican to fight, because the referee took the knockdown away. Some, you know, you don't get a knockdown for this. You get 10 extra seconds, which that didn't help Ramon. But I do think that it hurt Foreman later on, because the referee said, you know, I'm not putting up with your bullshit, and I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to hit with a point penalty that ultimately hurt Foreman and help Young years down the line.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But right now we've got Landover, Maryland, first round for the heavyweight championship of the world, Muhammad Ali versus Jimmy Young. This was in 1976. Nobody really expected anything from Young. When you watch this fight, the guys coming into this, the announcers didn't expect much from Young.
But yep, he locked in awestruck.
A lot of people at the end of this fight fought Jimmy Young, won the fight. Ali said he didn't take it seriously. When you watch Ali's mannerisms right here, it would tell you that maybe Ali wasn't taking it seriously.
And you know what, Mike? One of the things that I'm frustrated about myself, but I have to just say, I'm always trying to be fair, is that I will look at something over and over again and listen to people. And I really do believe that I'm listening to Ken Norton, that in many ways I thought that because Muhammad Ali, he didn't train for it. Now, Ken Norton's all pissed off, incidentally, because it's supposed to be Ken Norton versus Muhammad Ali for the third fight. And Ken Norton's, what the hell's going on with Muhammad Ali? Now, what he says about Muhammad Ali is interesting, because that is where Muhammad Ali and Angelo Dundee get mad. They go, he's not in shape. Norton, first of all, didn't want to talk to anybody. He's so pissed off because it looks like his fight is going to be off. And then he finally says, you know, first thing I see about Muhammad Ali, he's not in shape. Now, Muhammad Ali would say to Angelo Dundee, no, he's in shape. He's 5 pounds over, you know, when he fought Frazier. But he's in shape. He didn't train. He's got all these people want to bother him about everything. And he's going out to dinners. He's talking to people. He's doing all kinds of shit, but he's not training for him. He's getting himself physically in shape, but mentally and looking at films and honestly being, you know, ready to fight for the heavyweight championship. Don't call it a heavyweight championship if you're not going in there like a heavyweight champion. And this is where Muhammad Ali was having problems. He was having problems with his reputation because it's a second layer to Muhammad Ali as far as his career. And you have young people like me. We didn't get to really see the 60s Ali, the great, amazing heavyweight champion who was stripped of his title unfairly. We don't really get to see that. It's not easy to see these films. We're getting to see this other Muhammad Ali, and it looks to us like a Muhammad Ali that, you know, honestly doesn't look unbelievably impressive. It was, you know, and Ropadope has become a snooze fest fast as far as his tactics. And Muhammad Ali's tactics are bothering people. So in many ways, when I look at the fight now, I go, yeah, you can't take away the heavyweight championship away from Muhammad Ali with based on all this. But at the same time, the fans booing the decision, they're booing Muhammad Ali. These fans in total, they didn't know who Jimmy Young was when Jimmy Young shows up there. They boo the shit out of Muhammad Ali. And Muhammad Ali says, you know what? I understand it because we advertised it as the heavyweight championship fight. And I didn't take this guy seriously. And it's not that he didn't try. It's that you got a million people bothering the shit out of you. And now you're giving into that because Norton's the real fight. That's like the real heavyweight championship. So this is just a prelude. And the problem is, if it's a prelude, well, they don't call it a heavyweight championship fight. You can be heavyweight champion and fight without it being called a heavyweight championship fight. But of course,
yeah, but it's a heavyweight championship fight. I mean, he fought Ken Norton a few months later in September in Yankee Stadium, and in October before this, just 5 months before, he fought Joe Frazier. He knocked out George Foreman the year before that. So you can't expect him to just continually fight the same guys. But the one thing was here, he had to be in shape because he was fighting every couple months.
He was
cashing in, you know, from Chuck Webner to Jean-Pierre Koopman.
Absolutely. And that's also partly, that's not Holly's fault, but it weighed on him too, is that who is he fighting? And you're right. When he fought Cooperman, that is such a joke to Americans. This is somebody that's calling themselves a European heavyweight champion. And it makes, you know, it makes, we made fun of Europe. We made fun of England. We made fun of these shitheads. This is a champion? He's drinking champagne in between rounds. And Ali's clearly taking him as a joke. But it looks like Ali's not taking on serious people. You know, once in a while, it's a serious fight. His serious fight is the next one. But, yeah, they are calling this a heavyweight championship fight. And one of these guys is really trying. Now, he's not in the same class of Ali in any way, but he's going out there and he's putting his heart out there. And you see he's putting his heart out there. One guy's putting his heart out there, and the other guy is busy with business stuff, which I guess when we always say, how do they win the championship and lose the next bout? That's what happens. You have to tell people, screw you. I got a bout to prepare for. And Ali, admit it. At least I will give Ali that. And I'll give Dundee that. Dundee was so pissed off in his own way. He kept putting up posters and signs of San Diego, San Diego, San Diego. He's trying to remind Ali, Norton got you because you weren't paying attention to him, and that I think you should be taking Young more seriously. And Ali says afterwards, when the crowd booed the shit out of him, and he deserved to get the crowd booed. The crowd deserved to boo Muhammad Ali, that, you know what, I really should have taken this guy more seriously because he took it seriously in his antics and everything else. But I will say that as much as I agreed that I thought maybe Young won this fight, that kind of thing, people like Norton and other people convinced me of, do you really end heavyweight? Do you really take it away from Muhammad Ali? I mean, take away the great Muhammad Ali after everything he's done, sort of like Marvin Hagler saying, if it wasn't Sugar Ray Leonard, we should really take away my championship, you know, based on this. And it is, I can more understand it on that level.
Well, how about this? I watched this fight again about a year or two ago. I still thought Ali edged it, but I think the reason people think Young won the fight is because nobody expected Young to win the fight. So the expectations were low for Young. The expectations were high for Ali. Young exceeded expectations. Ali was way below expectations, and I think that is why you get the idea that he won the fight.
And also this. You know, there's two kinds of ways of fighting that of watching a fight. You judge it based on watching the fight, and if you want to do round by round, well, you have Muhammad Ali saying basically, I'm just going to give away the first two rounds. I'm just going to stand there with my hands up like this and just give them away. Well, all right, if that's true, you're down 2-0. Now, other people could say, well, Young hasn't hurt Ali or done anything to Ali. It really depends whether you can go round by round, where I think Young does better. And do I argue? I don't really want to argue so much that he won the fight. I did think that Howard Cosell always said he did, and other people thought he did.
I don't think it's a decision.
I think they're booing Muhammad Ali's performance.
I don't think it was a robbery. I think it's a fight that could have won either way. I could have seen it either way. Mad Chad chimes in. He says, how many necessary punches did Ali take? Ali's career after 1973 was probably a bunch of unnecessary punches. But the thing about it is, you talked about how we never got to see a prime Ali. The thing we did get to see was an Ali who figured out how to win when he wasn't at his best anymore. And that's something a lot of guys never figure out. And that's what extended his career so much.
Yes, exactly. He did extend it. What we all could have wished would have happened, which it didn't happen, is after the thrill in Manila that he and George Frazier retired. Okay. And that's it.
Yeah.
But they didn't. And only Frazier had one more. It's not that important, really, actually. But actually, had two more. There was one way years later. But Ali, yes, now you almost want to say you wish Ali would retire, though I will say he fought, considering where he's at in his career, versus Ken Norton, he fought Ken Norton very well for that third fight. He really did. And then Ernie Shaver, that's an amazing 15th round. That's an amazing performance in many ways that, yes, Ali still could do it, but we wished he didn't think he had to do it anymore, because it was now there was a lot more people booing him and booing his antics. And it all started a little bit with Frazier in the second fight, when Frazier said, you know, I've been mugged in New York where there was less touching and grabbing than Ali did against me, which maybe that's a funny line, but I think it held on him. And then George Foreman saying, wait a minute, you hear about the long count. What about the quick count? Did I really get 10 seconds from the referee, or did they count me out at 7? And think, well, and that you're giving Ali what looks like special privileges, special rules. He's going to hang on the boxer. He's going to sit on him, put his weight on him. He's doing things that he's just going to stand there sometimes and rope-a-dope. It looks like there's one set of rules for Muhammad Ali and a different set of rules for everybody else, which there should be, but it looks almost like it's becoming more and more.
The thing is this, though. Every sport's like that. You know, if you hit Aaron Rodgers late, you're going to get a penalty before you hit Brock Osweiler late. So, I mean, Michael Jordan's going to get more fouls. LeBron James is going to get more fouls called against. They're going to get more.
Tom Brady, I don't care what they do. If they hit him hard, you know, next week, call a million penalties. I still don't know what he did with that sneak thing where he beat the Raiders a million years ago. But I know what you mean. Absolutely. That is something of it. And I guess that's what Hagler is arguing. Hagler is saying, I gave people something really special, and something special should have beat me, and something special didn't beat me. But
yeah, but this is the thing, though. I think something special beat him, because I ate Sugar Ray Leonard, a natural 147-pounder. I still think this. If they even fight in 1982 – I would have gave Leonard a chance just because of how fast he was compared to Hagler. I love Marvin Hagler.
I think Leonard won. I know what he means. That at what point that did you take it away? But I do think Sugar Ray Leonard took it away. But I do understand that's what he's saying. Now, this is the only reason I backed off of Young, because I always would say, I think Young won the fight. But I'm willing to back off when I think about it as, do you really want to take away Muhammad Ali's championship based on this? And I think, gosh, you know, if you put it like that, you know, even if Jimmy Young won by a little bit, I don't think it's enough.
The 15th round, I mean, Young's, I mean, everybody, when I first watched this fight again, the only thing I remember was Jimmy Young ducking his head through the ropes and everything.
Yeah, that was, and I can't believe the fans didn't hate him for that. The fans should hate him for that, because it really looked terrible. But no, they didn't hate him for that. But they almost really should have. And I think actually what's weird about the decision, the only thing that's weird about the decision is it appears, I think it's like the 12th round or something, that I think there's a knockdown. And I think the knockdown is actually Ali versus Young. That Young puts his head through the ropes in a way that after throwing a punch, that the referee almost starts to look like he's calling it a knockdown. Almost like he counts to one or two, three, and then he just weighs it off and says, fuck it. You know, I'm not going to do that. But that makes you really weird about the decision. It just makes it feel like that. I think the fans got it right. I really think that, okay, Muhammad Ali won, don't take it away from him, but boo the shit out of him, because I really think he deserved to get booed. And I think Muhammad Ali knew he deserved to get booed. And I think Angelo Dundee knows he deserved to get booed. It's because all these people are bothering you for your time. You don't know there's people like Don King out of the out of whoever. There's a Cleveland hospital. All these black kids will die if you don't talk to me. You don't know who's going to Mama Lee's head of all the different ways you're trying to bother him. And he goes, well, when I face Norton, I'll be all focused. But this time around, if you want to bother me, at least I'll listen to what you have to say. And it looks not very good for Muhammad Ali in many ways. And Jimmy Young, you know, the effort, the heart, the care, the heart. There was something about him that just looked fresh, excited. You just didn't see all that Muhammad Ali. You saw one guy that really phoned it in to a certain degree, and one guy is like trying really hard, even putting his head through the ropes. It's not exactly. I'm not sure what to think about that. I mean, the referee at one point almost called something like that a knockdown and decided not to do it. And it was just a little confusing because no one ever seen anybody do that. Other than, it's not a fan pleaser, and yet the fans didn't hate him over it.
Yeah, and then next up, Jimmy Young got a couple nondescript wins, and then he fights the rematch against Ron Lyle. Ron Lyle, damn good fighter. I think he's a guy that's really underrated. The 70s really had a lot of great heavyweights.
Yeah, none
of them were named Jean-Pierre Koopman, though. But this is young Lyle, too.
Except in Europe. Apparently in Europe, he's some kind of champion.
I don't know that he ever beat anybody. If he did, maybe he beat Alfredo Evangelista once out of eight.
I want the proof this guy beat anyone.
I would look it up, but I don't care enough to look it up. But this is young Lyle, too. I mean, this is a big fight.
Impressive.
Yeah.
And Young's punches actually have a little more pop. They do actually look like he is so outsmarting Ron Lyle. That's not because Ron Lyle's dumb. Jimmy Young's really on fire. Whatever's going on with his confidence, style, and stuff, and he's got Lyle's number. Everybody has, you know, that opponent they kind of are just a little bit awkward with. And Young is not only fighting him so goddamn smart. You're almost thinking, well, the worst fighter is beating the better fighter until you think, wait a minute, that's like making fun of Jimmy Young. And Jimmy Young's a really good fighter. And you don't want to put down Ron Lyle, but it does look like Young in many ways has his number, and that he's and some of these times where Young is slipping away and landing these punches, they look like they have a little bit more pop than you usually think out of Jimmy Young.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you watch this Jimmy Young up through the Norton fight, Jimmy Young's never the same either, and that's the sad thing about this. Jimmy Young was a hell of a fighter because, I mean, here he dominated Ron Lyle.
He did. I mean, I think it's really just incredible when you watch. You know, boxing versus, you know, slugging. I think the heavyweights, we always give a little bit of a lean to slugging, but I got to say.
And there we go. Jimmy Young just knocked Ron Lyle down, too. So
yeah, they didn't call it a knockdown, but I know what you mean. It looked to me very close to a knockdown to me.
he hit him and he went down. That's a knockdown.
Yeah, that's kind of looks like a knockdown to me. I think it's also stunning just how good Jimmy Young is. I think, and Foreman's watching it. Foreman's talking about it. Foreman's like, well warned about this guy. And I think it's just. You can't believe it unless you're facing it. And that Ron Lyle could probably say, hey, wait a minute. You don't know what it's like to face a guy and you throw a punch and it's not there. And it's not because I've lost my skills and my brain's telling me something, my motor skills are wrong. It's that the guy's moving really fast. And it's not. And then all of a sudden, as I said, I think Young had a little more pop in his punches than he usually did. And it's just a tremendous performance. I mean, it's wonderful to watch. And I'm glad the fans liked him so much. And meanwhile, you don't know that George Foreman is sitting there all sad-eyed on some level because the fans don't like him. And Jimmy Young only had a little bit of there's only a little time that the fans really like him, but they do like him. There's just something about the heart and the boxing skills. You forget the heavyweight division. It's not just Vladimir Klitschko, where maybe we make fun of his – maybe we look down on his boxing skills. And go, he's a slugger. He just beats up people. Maybe Foreman had that same thing where Foreman's a better boxer than people think, but we're just thinking they're sluggers, you know, they beat up people. And Jimmy Young is really obvious proof of, I'm not a slugger. But he probably hits a little bit harder than people think. And his boxing skills was really amazed people in a way that boxing could probably use that today.
Well, boxing could definitely use that today. I think a guy like Jimmy Young would beat Deontay Wilder's ass.
Yeah, I think he'd give, anybody that just completely underestimates him. Even a guy like Tyson Fury, you got to hit him first and he's going to come up with he's going to look a little weirder in the ring than you think. I could take his best punch. Okay. But you know what? Hitting him isn't going to be that easy. And then his punches are going to just throw you a little off balance. They're not really meant to hurt you or knock you out. They're just really just to kind of throw you off a little bit. And that by throwing you off a little bit, you know, Foreman's going to be one to point out. he's all of a sudden a lot of problems. It's a lot of problems. Even when you're warned about him, you're warned about him in advance. Hey, this guy's going to, he's going to do nothing but try to, you know, do these little boxing stuff, but it's going to keep you just a little bit off balance and throwing your punches and take you off your game. And all he found out, you know, it is difficult all of a sudden to turn around in the middle of the fight, you know, that you're only finding out as the fight has begun that it's a problem. And Norton kind of had that too, except Norton's such a patient guy that he's just going to do his thing and it's all going to work out the way it is. So his situation is a little different. You don't really see any kind of, I think there's a little bit of panic in Foreman's eyes. And I think there's a little bit of, I don't know about nervousness, but Ollie's having to think a little bit. And I think Ron Lyle is puzzled. These guys, they have reactions that only when you're in the ring with them are you understanding that, you know, this guy really is causing trouble.
Yeah, and I mean, like I said, to me, the thing that stood out to me, especially watching a Lyle fight, Lyle was a really strong guy. And even when they were on the inside, Young got the best of him. I mean, he'd hook, you know, Young's arms up. You'd see him kind of drop down, slip out, hit him with an uppercut. He was a very nuanced heavyweight.
He was. And the one thing that I guess we've always talked about also that you got to be really careful about is looking at a boxer's record. Because you've heard of one guy you probably know really well, and you hear about the other boxer, and they have like, oh, 2-3 losses. And you go, oh, well, if they have 2-3 losses, Ernie Shaver's knocked him out in the third round or something. Well, you know, they're going to be a piece of cake. You just got to hit them. And you can really get mixed up judging boxers that way. And I always wear this Arizona State thing because of Arizona State finished number 2 undefeated, never got a chance to actually fight for number 1, that it's difficult to put boxers, to rate them based on anything other than when they actually are in the ring. If you base Jimmy Young against the great people he never gets to fight, you go, oh, well, all of them beat Jimmy Young. Well, yeah, until you're in the ring with Jimmy Young, and then he's more complicated and difficult.
All right, we're gonna pick up Jimmy Young versus George Foreman. This is the third round. This is in San Juan, Puerto Rico, I believe, if I remember right.
Yeah. Yep. And Foreman's been warned. He's watched Jimmy Young. It's not like he didn't watch him. You know, some people go, oh, you didn't watch tapes of him. No, he's watched Jimmy Young. He just knows kind of in his head that. And Foreman's so pissed off. He's pissed off on so many levels about life and people. There's a different George Foreman than kind of what you get. He thinks he was robbed by Ollie. He thinks, you know, I got a quick count. He thinks the fans hate me. They always hate me. He thinks that, you know, they're all looking for an excuse not to fight me right now. I got one loss on my record. Now, if Foreman wasn't, and I understand he's hurt. I'm sure he actually, in some level, the fans don't like him. But you know what? One of the things they did in my time when they did all this shit, it was hard to watch fights, is they would always show Foreman Lyle. They show Foreman Ron Lyle. And of course, Howard Cosell would go through his, this is not the sweet science of boxing. This is a slugfest. People like Foreman on some level that he didn't have to get so histrionic about. But anyway, he took Jimmy Young lightly because he thinks if he loses this fight, which ultimately is going to happen, he didn't think it could happen. And one of the things I want to point out right around this area is he gets nailed with a 1-point penalty and deserved it. That is partly of Ramon, and I don't think he did anything wrong with the side punch against Frazier because Frazier is backing away. Ken Norton, he admits hitting Ken Norton on the ground. He says, well, I did that because he looked really mad and I was afraid he'd get up and hit me. I like that talk. But really, they said, you know what? Giving this guy warnings isn't going to do shit. They did it with Tommy Morrison later when he fought Foreman. Give this guy warnings doesn't mean shit. I'm going to hit him with a penalty point. That doesn't seem like much. But honestly, that penalty point is going to weigh heavily in Foreman's mind when he's going to be shocked that it's going to be the last time he ever gets knocked down in a fight. And also realize, you know, there's a penalty point against me. And I'm running out of time. Right now, he just feels like, oh, it's just a matter of time. And I hit him. And you know what? That is true. A little bit, we're talking like Buster Douglas. We go, you know, once he hits Jimmy Young, that's going to be it. And before we're going to get to it, he is going to hit Jimmy Young. He's going to hit him goddamn hard. And it's not it. Jimmy Young doesn't quite quit as easily as I guess Foreman thought he would or other people thought he would. And he's just being, right now, Jimmy is just being awkward and clever. And everybody's, you know, we're kind of rooting for Young because he's just such an underdog. And that Foreman's, with his one loss, is thinking, what do I do that somebody will fight me for the heavyweight championship? Is it going to be Ali? Is it going to be Holmes? Is it going to be Norton? Is it going to be any of these guys I could beat? I could beat any of them. There's, all of them know it. They all know that I'm the real heavyweight champion. It's just I got knocked down by Ali, and they gave me 7 seconds instead of 10. That's what he's thinking. And the fans all hate me. Well, fuck them. You know what? If they really knew me, they think I was a great guy. Hey.
Oh, there you go.
People who know him don't think he's that great. There he comes. There he goes. Now, all of a sudden, that's what it. Young is gone. That's what you think. That's what Foreman thinks, too. It's only a matter of time now. It's only a matter of time. You're facing George Foreman, the most badass guy you've ever in the heavyweight division, and it should be close to over. And Young probably took those few seconds, just those 2 or 3 seconds, and said, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take anything. He's in deep shit trouble. And yet, Foreman can't quite knock him out. I think that had to be just a shocker, because I don't remember all my feelings watching it exactly, other than I did watch it live, and then I probably thought Young was gone. I probably thought, this is it, you know. It was a good try, you know, and stuff like that. But yet, Foreman can't actually knock him out. He's just a guy's going out within 2 rounds. He's like, what does it take? The guy really should be out. I got him. But you know what? You don't. You don't, in the sense of, it looks like you got him. That's what I always really love about this fight, because it doesn't look like Young has anything left. It really looks like Foreman could just – he's got a minute. It's George Foreman. And maybe Foreman is tiring a little bit too. Young's certainly tired. And it's just amazing, because once Foreman hits him, it's over. Well, he's hit him. Is it over? Well, not exactly. I mean, they haven't stopped the fight.
Yeah, I mean – I think it's to the point where when you say people underestimated him, I think this happens so many times that it comes to the point where maybe they didn't underestimate him. Maybe he was just that good. I mean, Ali, if you look at him against Ron Lyle, if you look at him against a lot of these guys, wasn't really in tip-top shape. I don't even think he was against Shavers. So I think he took Norton, Frazier, guys like that seriously. But I don't see anything here that tells me Foreman didn't take him seriously. I just think Jimmy Young's better than what everybody thinks or what everybody remembers.
Yeah, exactly. I will say that I don't think Ali necessarily took him as seriously as he should. I know Foreman did, because he watched his fights. So I know Foreman watched his fights, and then he's being warned. There are people telling him openly, hey, watch out for Jimmy Young. So it's not like he didn't have warnings and stuff. I guess it's just until you actually go in the ring with Arizona State, hey, you know, give us a chance. Once you're in the ring with them, which all Jimmy Young wants, I don't know if he actually knew how great he would do against Foreman as far as throwing him awkward. He's going to be awkward, and that Foreman's just struggling a lot. And remember, at this point, it doesn't seem important, but there's a one-point deduction against Foreman, which Foreman totally deserves based on Norton and Ramon and other fighters. You know, listen to Mahali. He's a mean, ugly, mean monster. Cheats. I don't know if Foreman cheats. I think it's more like, what is it, Tommy Morrison said, I just don't want to hear this religious shit. I just don't want to hear this guy's a minister. You know, it's boxing. I understand. He's a boxer. Just don't tell me you're a goddamn minister. I love that talk. Foreman pushed the line sometimes when it came to rules, and a referee called him on it, you know, and it was for all the other fights. It wasn't even against what he did against Young. But you know what? He deserved it. You know, 1 point deduction, and that you're not going to play your shit. And that 1 point penalty, when Foreman realizes, I'm not sure I'm winning all these rounds. I think I'm struggling a lot. And all of a sudden, time might be running out on me a little bit. Doesn't still think it, but it's getting, as time is moving on, Foreman's going to have realization of that penalty to point deduction and what happens when you hit guys when they're on the ground. You may be a minister. You may be a great minister. You still can't hit guys when they're on the ground.
Well, you can. You just can't get away with it normally. But Matt Chad chimes in, says, wow, Young was a warrior. I think that was the point for doing the show. I think that it was the point for doing the show that we did with Jimmy Ellis, Buster Mathis. Guys forget how good these guys were, because when they lost, they lost to great fighters. And right here, that was a great punch by Young, great combination. And you can see Foreman slowing down as he's coming forward.
Yeah, and I think you see just a little bit I think it's actually, I was going to say confusion. I think he's actually, as you said, I think he's tiring. And he's still not quite at the point of panic or anything like that. But I do think that this thing's gone on a lot longer than expected. He already thought he had the knockout round, and Young is still there. And he's been warned about Young and stuff. And look at Young. It's just he's doing kind of what Larry Holmes does. Larry Holmes says, I will take every second you give me. If I have 1 minute between rounds, does that mean 50 seconds, 51 seconds, 49 seconds. If I have one extra second, I want that anything. And I do think there's a quality of that in Jimmy Young of look at this. You're looking at Young tagging Foreman, and Foreman's disrespecting him, just like he did Ali. You know, it's not disrespect. It's that Foreman just thinks he's so much goddamn better than everyone. And when he gets hit sometimes, he just walks forward like, you didn't do shit to me. And yet he did do something to you. Young is tagging you a little bit, and you're tiring. And you got a one-point penalty holding on you for what you did against Ramon and against Norton. And probably Frazier, too, though I don't think that one's fair.
Yeah, I mean, Foreman, as Ivan Drago used to say, he destroys. And right here, the combinations by Young, and the big difference here is Young is just in better shape. Well, not better shape. How about this? George Foreman always fought so tight, if you know what I mean, because he was always looking for that one big punch. That's why I would have liked to seen old George Foreman from like 1991 when he fought Holyfield against this George Foreman, because I think the old Foreman would have gave young Foreman all kinds of trouble. Because, I mean, Foreman had a great chin, never got knocked down in his second career, I don't think, and he fought some good heavyweights. He went toe-to-toe with Holyfield. You know, he beat Michael Moore with that one-punch knockout in the 10th round. But,
I'm sorry. The only thing I was going to say about the difference between the two is the young Foreman keeps going pursuing his opponent, and the old Foreman knows he can't. He keeps suckering the person to come toward him. So this is the young one who keeps pursuing, and you're going to see something you're never going to see again. It's going to be a George Foreman knockdown that some people didn't like. I actually still think it's okay, but I think the important thing is when it happens, it's momentum. Foreman's just – the way he keeps stepping forward, pursuing and throwing punches kind of and disrespecting the opponent, he's throwing himself off balance. And if you played sports, yes – sometimes you'll just be, your momentum's totally off balance, sort of, and you just keep going forward on some kind of pride thing, and it's going to burn him. I think that there's only one round left, and I'm not sure if he thinks he's in a big of trouble as when the knockdown, the last time you ever see George Foreman knocked down, and then all of a sudden he realizes, shit, it's a knockdown, I've lost the round, there's a point penalty holding over me, and I might not have won a lot of these rounds, and the judges are the judges, and I'm going to be in trouble, because Foreman still, look at Young, just these tagging punches. Right now he's winning the round. It's hard to say, forget the knockdown. It's hard to say that Foreman's winning a round that he really needs to win.
Yeah, you see Foreman's about to go down, not even being touched right there. His legs are shot.
Yeah, he's shot and still just disrespecting going forward because that's all Foreman knows. But there he goes. He's been hit. He's been hit, but he's momentum. He still keeps going forward. He was hit. He went down. And that's the last time Foreman ever went down. And that's when Foreman realizes, oh, shit, I'm in trouble. And it's amazing to see that George Foreman because, one day the fans won't be against him as much as he thinks. But right now, oh, God, now they all have an excuse not to fight me. He's still got, time, but this is the first time you're seeing a George Foreman that realizes this thing is probably slipping away from me.
Yeah. Backs up into the corner. And the great thing about Young, he's smart enough to know there that Foreman has no legs. And if he backs up, Foreman's going to come to him in a straight line.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Absolutely. And that you're right. In many ways, what a Michael Spinks would do now is bicycle. And yet Jimmy Young realized, I don't really have to bicycle. I would bicycle if I had to, but I don't have to. Because the way the guy comes at me, I just got to throw out, a jab or a punch of anything. And it looks good. It doesn't look like I'm running away from the guy. The guy comes right at me, and I'm not running away from him. He's coming at me, and I'm standing there and beating him. I'm really beating the guy. I think it has to be to Foreman's. I don't know what went on in his head after the fight where he just, kind of lost it mentally a little bit of oh, now nobody will ever – they all have an excuse not to fight me. Well, yeah, whatever. Young beat you.
The thing that's really amazing when you watch this is to figure 17 years later, George Foreman became the heavyweight champion of the world again.
Absolutely. And in many ways, again, it was such a different George Foreman as far as the way he evaluated how people viewed him and thought about how people viewed him and thought, is it really just everybody hates me and it's everybody else that sucks? Or is there something I could do to be, friendlier, nicer, come across better? Be humble, even when I don't believe it. Be humble, stuff like that.
All right. Now, now we get to the point where Ali decides to fight Spinks. So the WBC, I believe it was, makes their title vacant. These guys, Jimmy Young, Ken Norton, were the number one and number two contenders. They fought, I think this was November of 1977, basically to claim the belt that had been stripped from Muhammad Ali.
Yes, and I do think that to separate people as far as, you know, Norton fighting Young right now, because also Ali's going to lose to Spinks, and then they're going to tell Spinks, you got to fight Norton. You have to understand, after the third bout, I don't remember a controversy in my lifetime to the degree that they thought, you know what, there's two heavyweight champions, but there can't be. Muhammad Ali is really the official champion. A lot of people thought Norton was the winner. Enough that you almost seem to have two, that Norton deserves a shot, but Ali gets to hear, I mean, Spinks gets to hear when he beats Ali, how much money do you get if you fight one guy? How much money do you get if you fight the other? And things like that, that I think this is the only time there's a split championship. Ernie Terrell is not a split champion with Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali is the heavyweight champion. I'm sorry. Mike Weaver.
How about this? Would the split champion, would it have been late 60s when you had Joe Frazier as a champion
Dr.
Mathis?
Oh, yeah. Now, that's a good one. Thank you, Mike. You're right. Because now we can look back on it and go, actually, Joe Frazier versus Buster Mathis is better than ABC's tournament. I'm sorry. Jimmy Ellis won the tournament, but I don't care. Frazier Mathis is – that's your two heavyweight – that's your two peoples. And yet Frazier still had a split thing where he had to face Jimmy Ellis. And we did a great show on Jimmy Ellis. I was surprised at how much everybody liked it. I'm so happy everybody liked it because we really tried to be fair to Jimmy Ellis and say, oh, he's not, you know, a joke. He's a good fighter too. But I think that was a split where you still sort of think Frazier's ultimately the better one of the two, but Ellis does deserve some kind of form of a championship or something. And I think that Norton has earned something that helps Young in this fight. And I got to tell you, all the times I've watched this fight, I think it's brilliant. The fans are rooting for both of them. They both have about a 50-50 split in fans. And that because of their styles are different and the ebb and flow, which is so unusual, I still think you can watch this fight and be not quite sure who won. I think it turned out the way it should turn out. But I do think that it has such an unusual ebb and flow. And finally, in the 15th round, about 1 minute to go, you think, no, I'm pretty sure Norton won. And then Jimmy Young has a great final minute. So it's a really ebb and flow fight that if you want to judge boxing, if you want to say, let's say I'm judging a fight, and I'm going to write down the judging, what would I do? This is one of the best ones to do because their styles are different and the ebb and flow is different. And I think it's probably still to this day the best fight that I can think of you could go either way in a way. And I do think the judges went the right way. I hate draws. Everybody hates draws.
Yeah, I think the fight could have went either way. And I think it's just sad because you've already had a couple bad decisions or questionable decisions go against Young.
Yeah.
But let's face it. They weren't letting Young win this fight by decision. He'd have had to knock Norton out because Ali Norton 4 was where the money was at, not Ali against Young.
Yes, and again, this was both also – there's a tremendous – backlash against Ali, who wins the fight against Norton 3, but there's a backlash of, hey, we think Norton was cheated. We think Ali's getting away with all these, you know, special privileges that nobody else gets to do, and all that stuff was going to weigh in on Norton. That's why I always say that, well, I don't know about Ernie Terrell or Mike Weaver. I don't think Ernie Terrell ever was heavyweight champion, and people didn't think he was either. I think Joe Frazier versus Jimmy Ellis is a good example of well, Jimmy Ellis will say is a champion. It's tough because we're not just trying to arbitrarily throw in our opinions. We're trying to say that we think there should be one heavyweight champion. And when you say there's two, we wish there'd be one. So if there's Fury and whatchamacallit, Joshua, think there should be one. I don't think there should be two. And Andy Ruiz should get another shot at one of these guys. But anyway.
Hey, Chris, boxing is the only sport where you can have more than one world champion.
You know what? You can't have two Super Bowl winners. It's going to be Kansas City or Brady.
That would be like in the Super Bowl. If Tampa Bay beats Kansas City, Tampa Bay gets the Super Bowl trophy, and then the next day, the WBA announces that they've decided to crown the Kansas City Chiefs.
You're right. And the only thing we do is what we do as historians is how can that happen? And the only thing I can say is that Norton Ali split the country in a way that was very unusual, and that Larry Holmes, when he split his championship, what he said was, which I think is important, is I have to do this because of Don King, and that enough time has passed to see what we know about Don King to say that, hey, if he thinks Don, if he has to try to separate himself from Don King and say, I'm still the heavyweight champion, there's a respect there for Larry Holmes on that. And then I feel so sorry, a guy like Tim Witherspoon thinks, I got to get knocked out in the first round and be humiliated just to get away from Don King. And that there's something really wrong about that too, but that doesn't mean Tim Witherspoon absolutely is the heavyweight champion along with Larry Holmes, and that we just try to be fair and try to tell their stories.
Yeah, just the end of the fight where Young comes back, Norton controlled most of the 15th round. The other thing is there's a 15th round, Chris, which separates the men from the boys.
It was, and that was a great 15th round. And you know what? I think the only thing – this fight, if it lost any kind of luster or time or anything, it's just because the next fight Norton had with Larry Holmes is so special. One for the ages. One of the great heavyweight championships ever. It might have taken something away from Norton Young, which is a great heavyweight fight. I still think that, like I said, it's just a fun one to watch if you just want to judge a boxing heavyweight bout. And how did it go? And then one referee says Norton, one says Young. And you're like, oh, my God, they're holding on to who's the heavyweight champion of the world by 1 point. So there's not a lot to separate them, and they say Norton's name. And then at that point, Jimmy Young, it has to be something that's taken out of you. I don't think Young did interviews. And no, he did a little bit of an interview, and I think Howard Cosell said, you know what, I don't think you want to do this. Or one of the guys, I don't think you want to do this interview, and I don't blame you. Why don't you go ahead and go back to your locker, and that's cool. You're great.
All right, after this, it goes downhill for Jimmy Young. And goes downhill quickly because he had a shot, or he got an opportunity after the Norton fight to fight Osvaldo Ocasio. He was from San Juan, Puerto Rico also. He was only 11-0. This was June 9th, 1978. It was on the undercard of that Holmes-Norton Classic you just talked about. I remember watching this fight. I had no idea who Ozzy Ocasio was. Ocasio...
He pulled an upset to get in there, and he would pull an upset against Young. Young didn't quite look the same. He's a little more confused because, the style. His name is Moore. He changed his name so many times. I don't know who the hell knows who he is. But I got to admit, I've grown to hate him as a boxer because of how Cowie lost the decision to him. I didn't like the way he fought Holmes. I didn't like the way he fought Ray Mercer. You know, I'm sorry. Sometimes as a boxing historian, you watch a guy and say, this isn't boxing. This isn't a great boxer. This is a guy who's bicycling a little too much. That is a personal opinion.
It also helped that Don King controlled his career, which got him a bunch of opportunities, but it probably also still ended up broke. This was a fight that ended up a split decision loss for Young. And the sad thing was Ozzy Ocasio gets a shot at Larry Holmes, which he got beaten to death. I looked like one of the – what are the little paddles where you hit the ball? Yeah.
I think of Moore, or whatever he calls himself, Ozzy, whoever, from Puerto Rico – that's what I think of you. I have more respect for Ramon who got knocked down in the first round than Foreman. I'm sorry. There's too much bicycling for me. There's too much running around the ring. Not enough boxing. I love Jimmy Young as boxing.
I will give Ozzy Ocasio this, though. He was really, truly a cruiserweight, and I could see why he ran. Yeah. I don't think he was big enough to deal with these guys. Ozzy Ocasio.
Not his fault. They gave the decision to him over Cowie.
Yeah, for his talent. Ozzy Ocasio got everything he could out of his talent.
Thumbs up on that.
So what the hell? Plus he had the balls to get in there.
But I ain't doing a show on him. Screw him.
I wanted to do a show on Ozzy Ocasio. Damn it.
Yeah, that was what all the audience wanted more than anything. I will say though, he frustrated Young. It was one of his better performances. I got to say, I've watched him and I don't like watching him. He frustrated Young. Young really wanted a guy actually to come out at him and slug. And this guy was willing to be smart, and he was, I think the better fighter won that fight. But I think it's also just we watch a lot of fights, and some we like better than others. So we were like Jimmy Young, and then you're kidding me. I hope on that show I'll do Greg Page first. I'll do anyone first.
All right, and then he ends up fighting Ocasio again. He loses even more convincingly on the judges' scorecards. Then he fights Wendell Bailey. This is a guy who came in 13-1. I remember this fight was on HBO. I forget what it was. It might have been the undercard to Holmes Weaver, but I'm not sure. And I remember the HBO commentators, which I can't remember. I think it was Larry Merchant. They're making fun of Wendell, or making fun of his fight against Wendell Bailey, because Jimmy Young was fat in that fight. And he ended up stopping Wendell Bailey. So that gets him a shot at Michael Doakes, another one of the Don King guys. Doakes was only 14-0. Doakes won a fairly close decision over him. I think it was 96-94 on one card. The other two cards, it was a little bit farther apart. But after he loses that fight, you kind of figure Jimmy Young's done.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, there isn't – Jimmy Young really is off the radar. You know, he's going to have one more high-profile appearance and stuff like that. But also, when you mentioned Larry Merchant, I got to say this because I'm watching a lot of these things. I think sometimes when you watch him, Lampley, and Foreman, it's uncomfortable because I think Foreman's kind of like saying, I don't like Larry Merchant. I really don't. I don't respect his opinions. I got to say, watching these things over and over again, I kind of think Foreman has a point. I think Larry Merchant sometimes – I can kind of understand that Foreman says, no, I don't agree with you at all. I don't think you know shit about boxing. I don't think Foreman's like that necessarily, wants to be like that. And Lampley's just, hey, I'm the host. I got to keep this thing going. But I do think that anyway, we're all said and done with Jimmy Young, we're talking about. He's off the radar. It seems like now he's going to have one more high-profile performance.
Well, he's going to have more than one. You got a couple because you got to fight with Greg Page too, because really – he beats John L. Gardner, who was one of those European champions, who was 30-1, beats Don Halpin, who was 6-8. Then he gets a shot on CBS against Jerry Cooney. And I think this, I think
that's what I think of the high profile.
Yeah, well, you still got Greg Page, which was a high profile fight too. But I'm gonna put this all together in one package, and this is this. I think that he was really serious to fight Jerry Cooney.
Absolutely.
And I think he was serious for the next 2 years.
And it helped Jerry Cooney that Jimmy Young came in serious.
Oh, yeah, because it made Cooney a better fighter, because we're going to pull this up. And without the cut, who knows what happens in this fight. But Jimmy Young, Jerry Cooney, this we're going to start off here with the third round of Cooney against Young. This was really Cooney's only test before he fought Larry Holmes. At least I think it was his only test before he fought Larry Holmes in round three here. And
Jerry first Cooney, round knockout of Norton, first round knockout of Lyle, but you're not sure those are the same Norton and Lyle from before. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, they weren't the same as before, but Norton had, you know, fought a close fight with Randall Tex Cobb, split decision. He fought a draw with Scott Ledoux, and then Cooney knocked him out in the first round. So I don't think that you can completely say Norton was done.
Yeah, but I agree. There was always there was one group of people putting Cooney above Gandhi, and another group of people saying he's shit because of his skin color. And I think that this
oh,
was...
Oh, Chris, I thought Jerry Cooney would have beat the hell out of Gandhi.
Well, we know Gandhi wouldn't have fought back, and that would have been his, you know, we know that. Gandhi.
Yeah, he'd ended up like Ken Norton on the ropes just with his head over, about passed out.
But, yeah, nothing else. We're pretty sure Cooney would knock out Gandhi. Both of us agree on that one. But I do think that what Jimmy Young – this is what Jimmy Young did for Jerry Cooney. I think he did a lot for Jerry Cooney because there was a credibility, and I think Jimmy Young would have appeared to be kind of washed up, shot out, but it didn't really feel that way. It felt like Jimmy Young was one more time and that Jerry Cooney has got to prepare for him and be ready because there are guys that are not ready for Jimmy Young, and you're fighting a smart guy. He's not the same guy. He's not the same.
There's right there. That uppercut that Cooney hit him with, the left uppercut,
yeah,
that would cause the cut. But, I mean, anybody that thinks Cooney wasn't any good, if you watch this fight, this dude could fight.
He was, and he was facing Jimmy Young giving his heart and soul because he knew he kind of had to, and that it would have been easy to say, which I think with some of the others, well, you're just facing a shot up Jimmy Young. But I don't think so. I think Jimmy Young was one more time ready to go and had the skills to do it. And you're right. He battled Cooney really well for a couple rounds, and then you know, the cut and stuff, and then all of a sudden Young just can't really—he's in trouble. And but I don't think it's so sad. I actually think that Jimmy Young, sometimes you can lose, and it says a knockout in the fourth round. I think Jimmy Young actually had a lot of credibility losing this fight, and it certainly helped Jerry Cooney. But I also think Jimmy Young, this was a credible loss, and say yeah. I remember the time, and you remember his great fight against Foreman, his great fights against Ali, Norton, and remember a great Jimmy Young, and that this is – he's not – until you knock him out, you better make sure you knock him out.
Well, how about this? I mean, the reason I say you never know what happens without the cut, Young is tagging Cooney here, and my question is, Cooney had never really went too far, especially in a competitive fight. If this was Jimmy Young without the cut, he gets Cooney into the seventh or eighth round. You don't know what happens here because Young, as you see here, even with the cut, backs Cooney into the ropes and was giving him a pretty good going over.
Right. And what we can also see is we saw with Foreman, he can take a but look at him trying to shake it off. But he could take a punch and not necessarily go down and then find clever ways to keep throwing you off your game where your punches just aren't really landing. And the next thing you know, he's just tagging you here and there. And it's not exactly like getting hit by an amateur. Sometimes it looks like Young doesn't have a lot of punching power. And yet other times you think, well, you know what? That was a pretty good pop. And I do think you're right that that Young really felt confident going into this fight and did the best he could. And, if it could have gone a little bit longer, he could have frustrated Cooney. I don't know what would happen because Cooney is a lot better than people think, too. And that's probably the only problem Jimmy Young had is that maybe Cooney is better than a lot of people thought when he actually stepped out in the ring with him.
Well, I would have really liked to have seen Jimmy Young be in shape against Ocasio, and I would have loved to have seen Jimmy Young against Larry Holmes.
Yes. It would have been Jimmy Young versus Larry Holmes, I guess, because of the losses. You can understand why Holmes didn't do it. But, yeah, it would have been nice to see Young, who the spirit of him, and a couple of years earlier than this, face Larry Holmes. But it didn't happen. I don't think Holmes was avoiding him. It's just Young had taken a couple of losses that were, you know, high profile and didn't look good really in those fights. And he was facing a guy who can make people look bad. Ocasio or Moore, whatever the hell he calls himself, could do that to boxers. He could make them look bad. Made Ray Mercer look bad. I'm just glad they gave Ray Mercer the win.
Yeah. I'll tell you, the thing that stands out to me is this is a little less than 2 years until Cooney fights Holmes. Cooney actually looks in better shape here than he did against Holmes.
Yeah, there's so much going on with both of those boxers. I feel bad for them in a way that that was such a high profile bout that we've talked about that came all about race, and I just think that's one of the sadder aspects of heavyweight boxing. I was actually thinking when you say what do we do next, I was actually thinking about that in the sense of it brought out the worst in people, everybody, white, black, purple, green, whoever you are. Cooney versus Holmes on some level, other than Holmes proved he was the number one heavyweight at the moment, and Cooney gave a respectable performance.
Yeah, Cooney proved he wasn't the problem because I think Jerry Cooney that night got the best Larry Holmes.
I actually think it's always, I think it's a Holmes redemption that he didn't have to do. I think that Holmes was already great, but he felt he had to have this win to prove he was great. Though I will say this, Foreman always said the guy ducked me. Now I don't know if Larry Holmes ducked George Foreman, and George Foreman said I only hated one boxer ever, and his name is Larry Holmes.
Hey, but the thing is this: Larry Holmes didn't become a heavyweight champion until the middle of 1978, or a partial champion. George Foreman had retired by then, so you can bitch all you want. Now I can see
he said he'd come back and fight Holmes.
Yeah, the comeback.
Holmes said, "Well, he'd fight a couple guys first."
Yeah, because why wouldn't Holmes say that? I mean, he's got Don King with him. They're not going to risk anything. Plus, the thing is this. Everybody saw what Jimmy Young did to George Foreman. Everybody remembered what Muhammad Ali did. So a lot of that invincibility was gone. And I think the thing that made Foreman's second career so great, it wasn't about invincibility. It was about likability with him. He made everybody love him. Everybody wanted to see him in his first career because they wanted to see him get beat. Everybody in the second career wanted to see him win.
Well, that's what he complained about in the first round, and I can only say it's not really going to my personal life, but I had a wailing session crying about Colleen and all that shit about like a few days ago, and I know it's like to get all sad-eyed and cry and sad, and Foreman got that way and stayed away from boxing. And he thought, when will the fans ever root for me? When will the fans ever root for me? I can tell you this. I wouldn't mind covering as our next one about. Sometimes we cover about instead of a boxer. I wouldn't mind covering Foreman versus Holyfield. It was a great night for boxing.
I would love to cover that
fight. Got everyone to root for him.
I would love to cover that fight. And the thing is this about that fight, I think everybody rooted for both of them. There wasn't much to dislike.
There wasn't a villain.
I remember going and watching that fight on closed circuit TV at a hotel over in Northern Kentucky with my dad. And the thing was, everybody was cheering for Foreman, but nobody hated Holyfield, if you know what I mean. And I was a huge Holyfield fan. But I'm sitting there cheering for Foreman because, hell, he's George Foreman. And when and the thing to me is not so much that a 43-year-old man gave Holyfield that kind of fight. The thing that stood out to me was the fact that Evander Holyfield stood toe-to-toe with George Foreman and beat him. Not many people ever did that. Tommy Morrison didn't do that. Tommy Morrison outboxed him. You know, Muhammad Ali outthought him. Evander Holyfield outfought him.
He did. And also, I saw somebody's conversation on the cons. Cooney Fury. Yeah, that'd be a good one. But yes, to get back to Cinderella Man, that book and that movie could go piss on themselves. I don't think they thought they needed a villain. Oh, for every story, you need a villain. It's only as good as a villain. To make Max Fear just this killer, horrible, beating up women,
if y'all want to hear more about that, we actually did an old time boxing show a couple years ago about Max Baer. So make sure you go to thegruelingtruth.com.
Click
the search bar, Max Baer. We'll give you the truth about Max Baer.
You're right. We told the truth about Max Baer. But what I think is important is they thought it was so important to have a villain that if we aren't sure about one, we're going to invent one because it's important. Foreman and Holyfield really doesn't have a villain. It just had people rooting for George Foreman. That doesn't mean there's a villain. And you know what? It was the best night of heavyweight boxing in probably my life. There's probably like five great nights. That was one of them.
Yeah, that was a great night. It was a great fight. Tommy Morrison struggled with Yuri Volin in the undercard, too.
I didn't remember that. Can you imagine that? You have to feel like somebody so popular as Tommy Morrison, and yet all I can remember was just Foreman so deliriously happy of everything. He was – you never see, and the sportsmanship. And that's the only thing I didn't say about Jack Dempsey in our last show, the sportsmanship he showed when Gene Tunney beat him the first time around. That impressed people. The sportsmanship that Foreman and Holyfield show toward each other. You know, you don't care more because you beat up things and are a bad sport when you lose. That doesn't mean you care more. These guys cared more than anything, and they were great sportsmanship in this heavyweight bout.
All right, so we got he goes on a run, though. He beats undefeated Gordon Ratchett. Or I don't even know how to say the last name, but I remember the guy was from Canada. He was 25-0. I remember Boxing Illustrated magazine actually did an article about him asking if he was the next Rocky Marciano because he was 25-0. I also remember they did the same thing for Steve Zowski because he was from Brockton also. But Steve Zowski was not Rocky Marciano. And then he beat Marvin Stinson. Marvin Stinson.
Emaro Hansen wasn't Rocky Marciano, and he was heavyweight champion.
Hey, and Marvin Stinson was 12-1. Marvin actually was a highly decorated amateur. He beat Jeff Sims by a split decision. Jeff Sims was a tough dude. He beats Tom Fisher. I have no idea who the hell that is. And then he beat Franco Thomas, who was a guy that had a couple shots on NBC Sports World National Television. And then
now Jeff Sims, we never get to see Buster Douglas versus Mike Tyson. I'm sorry.
Well, without Jeff Sims, I'd never get to see that great fight he had against Ernie Shavers on the Holmes, or not Holmes, but Ollie Burbick undercard in the Bahamas.
Just don't look at the record only. These guys have heart.
And, yeah,
Jeff Sims was number one that year.
Yeah,
our defensive captain went to the Hall of Fame. I'm sorry.
Greg Page, 18-0. For the USBA heavyweight title, I believe this was on ABC. This was Young's last shot. If he gets a win here, maybe he gets a shot at one of the titles. Page beat him, but Young made a good account of himself. Page was in shape in this fight, and an in-shape Greg Page was a damn good fighter. Young just wasn't quite good enough that night.
Oh, yeah, not to do anything to put down Greg Page and stuff like that. I do think, though, that Jimmy Young has kind of had his time, and I just wish, but you don't get your wishes. If there's a way financially he can hang in there to end after Cooney, I kind of thought that he just had a certain respect level. And these guys are taking punches. And God, I hate to see Norton in a wheelchair. And I hate to see Muhammad Ali the way people look at him. Like you have to feel sorry for him. Even though Muhammad Ali says, you don't have to feel sorry for me. And I just feel like these guys start to take a lot of punches at a certain point.
All right. After that, he was pretty much done. He lost a split decision to Philip Brown. He lost decisions to Tony Tucker, Tony Tubbs. But it shows you how good he was that even at the end of his career, he had enough skill. The guys didn't knock him out. He took him the distance.
I'll say about the fight with Tony Tubbs, I kind of forget this, that Tony Tubbs is like the number two amateur in the entire world to Stevenson.
Tony Tubbs was a damn good fighter. He couldn't stop eating.
So, exactly. Me too sometimes. But that Jimmy Young could actually still give somebody like Tony Tubbs something to think about. You're right. Maybe when I say, you know, I still wish he maybe retired. He still gave Tony Tubbs a lot to think about for a guy who there's, you know, only who wasn't used to losing or even really being challenged as much as Jimmy Young gave him if you underestimate him in the ring.
Yeah, of course, Jimmy Young died at the young age of 56 from a heart attack in 2005. But I think the point of the show is to show people exactly how good Jimmy Young was. And I think there's no doubt he was a hell of a heavyweight. In the 1970s, he's probably a top 10 guy out of everybody, top 15 at worst. And I think that was the greatest decade depth-wise for the heavyweight division, the 70s and the 90s.
And that's why we do what we do, and I'm glad it's a visual. But watch Max Barry, even though we don't have a visual. It's a good one because people get to see Jimmy Young. It wasn't his personality. It wasn't like he gave these great interviews. It's that people are impressed in the ring. So we're going to show of, hey, watch the guy and see what you think. And maybe you'll be going, Jimmy Young, Jimmy Young, Jimmy Young.
All right, Chris, next Monday night at 7 o'clock, you want to do Holyfield Foreman? We'll do a little watch-along.
That would be great. That would be cathartic for me, too. You know,
actually, I just watched that fight yesterday, too.
You know what? That's great. You know, I was thinking after the fight, maybe I'll watch Young and Norton again. You know, we watch these things because we enjoy them. And, yeah, there's a very special fight. It was so good for boxing. It was so good for boxing.
Yeah, and if you watch the show, you can go to the Grueling Truth Facebook page. We run boxing probably 5 or 6 fights a day. You get to see legendary fights like this, so make sure you go there. Follow us there. I want to thank everybody that has. We have over 103,000 followers on our Facebook page now. Make sure you go check us out on Rockfin. We're going to start posting some fights there also. You can sign up for free with just an email. You can follow us at Grueling Truth. Also, it's Super Bowl week, and today on our NFL Live show, we had former Pittsburgh Steeler great, 4-time Super Bowl champion Rocky Blyer. It was a great show. Make sure you go check that out.
Vietnam War star.
Tomorrow at 1 o'clock Eastern, we will have Minnesota Vikings legendary Pro Bowl running back Chuck Foreman on the show to talk about.
Hate that guy if you're a Rams fan. I'm sorry.
You're fine. He was a Viking. You hate him if you're a Rams fan. But see, this is the thing. I my favorite team was always the Bengals, but they hardly ever made the playoffs. So I picked the Vikings and Rams both. I like the Vikings a little bit more.
Asshole of the year. Somebody threw a snowball in Chuck Foreman's eyes, I think, in the playoff game. Asshole of the year.
My favorite game, though. Vikings-Rams 1977 Mud Bowl.
Tarkington and Foreman, that dink a dink a dink a dink. We had this great defense. We were as good as Pittsburgh. We were better than everyone. We couldn't. That dink 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 between Tarkington and Foreman drive me out of my fucking mind watching it.
But that's all right, because the next week they got dumped by the Dallas Cowboys 23-6.
Tarkin could never get one touchdown in the halftime. Minnesota, 4 Super Bowls. How many points do they have after 4 Super Bowls at halftime? 0.
Yeah, they had a rough time. But in their defense, they played and lost to 4 of the greatest teams in NFL history. That 69 Chiefs team, I think, had a top 5 defense of all time. They lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Oakland Raiders, the Miami Dolphins. So, I mean, what the hell? I mean, they may be the 5th greatest team that ever lived and never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but they say, well, they didn't throw any penalties on Pittsburgh. You seriously think they didn't commit any penalties that day?
And then Thursday, we'll have former Kansas City Chief All-Pro kicker Nick Lowry on the show. We'll have a special guest Wednesday. I haven't finalized that yet, but you keep an eye out on Twitter. We'll share that out. Me and Chris will be back next Monday night at 7 o'clock to watch Evander Holyfield battle George Foreman in the Battle of the Ages in 1991.
We want George. Go ahead.
But for now, guys, we're going to wrap it up. For Christopher Shelton, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been watching and listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.